So I will be bringing that stack home for birthday gifts given to us in September for Evan. Well, it has happened, people. It actually happened a couple weeks ago. I was walking in the store, and I saw Christmas stuff. Uh-huh. Mixed with the Halloween stuff. And the Thanksgiving stuff. It's all there. And a little part of me died inside because a couple weeks ago, there wasn't even snow on the ground yet. And we're in Alaska. Like, they should at least wait until we have snow before that stuff goes out on the shelves. Nope, it's already out. Mixed in with the Halloween candy, which I'm pretty sure as soon as the Halloween candy's off the shelves, we're gonna see some candy canes, right? We live in a capitalist country. For good or for bad, this is what we do. We buy and we sell things. So our whole lives are based on transactions, on what we've earned and then what we're spending, on what we've deserved and what we treat ourselves with. This is just the way that our world operates, the kinds of transactions that we do. And unfortunately, there's not just our transactions, but there's the whole hierarchy of who gets to make those transactions. So I watch TV shows like House Hunters, where they have million-dollar homes that I get to drool over, because I know that's never going to happen in my life. Like, every single room in my house is going to be used. I don't get to have a library, and I don't get to have an office. I have children's books everywhere and toys mixed in with my books everywhere, right? My piles of books in my house. I have an office, but it's also part of our guest room. All of the rooms in my house will be used. And I also know that I will never, ever, ever buy a car flat out, like a brand new car flat out. Here's cash. There's my car. That's just not my station in life. It's not going to happen for me. I might really want to have a nice new Lexus. Not going to happen for this person here. So not only are we based on transactions, we're based on our level of transactions. And we're so steeped in it that it's really hard to imagine it to be a different way. I think we all hope for it to be a different way. Like, wouldn't it be nice if I could just go drop $1,000 on a Christmas gift or a few thousand dollars on a really awesome trip? Wouldn't that be great? We hope for it, but there's no way we're going to live in that kind of a world. The hard part is that kind of world can't imagine another way to be. That kind of world just exists, and there's no other imagination of a world that's not based on transactions. And I think our story today from our Old Testament reading from 2 Kings 5 is a story that shows that to us. And I love this story, and I'm sure you all have heard it before, the story of Naaman. And everything in the very first part of 2 Kings chapter 5 is setting us up to like this guy. I mean, he's a great warrior on his own, and now he's the captain of a king's army, and he has the king's favor, even though it's not the people of Israel, it's a different kingdom. Still, he's got everything going for him. And not only that, but he has got anything he could ever want or ever need, and the means to get anything he could ever want and ever need. This is a guy that we, in our world, look up to. And then it throws the switch that this guy also has leprosy. Now, if you watch TV for 2 minutes, you will see a commercial for someone with psoriasis and the way to heal it. And all of the actors portray just as this person in shame trying to cover up what's on their body. And think that, but amplified. Because not only is it little pieces of skin that flake off and itch and hurt, it's sometimes body parts that fall off and itch and hurt. This is something that he is deeply ashamed of. And even though he has all the wealth and all the influence, he can't fix himself. But one day, his servant girl for his wife, one of the people that he's picked up and trafficked in all of his plundering of Israel, picks up this servant girl and she says, "If only you were with the prophet who's in Israel. See, my people have a way to work on healing these kinds of things." And Naaman's ready for it. So I can see him grabbing his 750 pounds of silver and his 6,000 gold coins in their little buckets and 10 sets of clothing, which is much more than just go to Walmart and buy something off the shelf. This is all handmade clothing, and it's all fitted for your size. And he's piling all these things up, and I wonder if he steps back and goes, I wonder if that's enough to buy his healing. And just in case that's not enough, he goes to his king, and says, I've heard that I can get healed. Will you give me a letter of recommendation too? So the king writes out this letter and sends Naaman on his way with his horses and his chariots and all of his gold and all of his wealth. And he comes to the king in Israel and has an audience with him and says, here's the letter from my king. Will you heal me? And then the king of Israel rips his clothing, which we've already established is incredibly expensive to have, rips his clothing in grief. Oh, he's trying to pick a fight with me. What am I going to do? To which our poor king of Israel doesn't even remember that there's a different way to be. And so here's a man of God named Elisha, and he hears about the king's grief and all of the trouble that the king has and says, you've forgotten that God is speaking in this place. But send Naaman to me so he can know. So he can know that there's a prophet in Israel. And so here comes Naaman with all of his horses and all of his chariots and all of his gold, and he comes up and he knocks on Elisha's door. But Elisha doesn't. He doesn't even open the door for Naaman, who's got his note from his king and all of his gold and silver and all of his clothing. Elisha won't even open the door for the guy. He sends a messenger out the back door to come and meet Naaman at the door and says, go wash in the Jordan River 7 times. And Naaman is ticked. Oh, he is mad. He is livid. Because what does his station in life tell him? That as the second in command of another kingdom, as somebody who has already beaten the Israelites that he's now going to ask for healing, as someone who has all this stuff, at least Elisha could have opened the door and prayed a prayer and waved his hand over the spot, and I could have been better. See, Naaman has thought that he can buy his way to grace. He thinks that everything that he has got him a foot in the door already, and the door won't even be open to him. And so he's mad because his rivers are nicer. His city is nicer. Everything that he has is way nicer than what these people of Israel can promise. And I got to go wash in the Jordan River, that little stream that's all muddy and murky, really? And so he's ready to turn around and walk away from the grace that was offered to him. Until his servant said, very gently, Father, if he had asked you to do something hard, you would have done it. So now when it's something easy, how much more could you do that? And something clicks for Naaman. Maybe it's the fact that he's about ready to lose a limb to his disease, but he goes and he washes. And he dunks himself 7 times in a dirty river. And God does something. Not because Naaman has all this wealth that he's going to pay for, but because he has faith in God enough to do what the prophet said. If you remember from last week, faith isn't about having the right beliefs, because Naaman is not a God worshiper. He's from a whole different country. He's never really heard of God. And he's already taken over Israel once, so how powerful can Israel's God be? But he has faith in what the prophet said God would do for him. Not that he believed all the right things, but that he did what the prophet told him. He did what God asked him to do, and from that walks out of the river and is healed. And he comes back to Elisha, and the door opens. And he's ready to give all of this present to Elisha. He's ready, all of the things that he's already stored up as payment, he's ready to give. And I wonder why Elisha turns him down. That's what makes me think this is a payment, that Naaman is still coming back with, thank you for healing me, here, have this gift, have all of these things, so that he can walk away saying that he, Naaman, has bought himself his healing. But God's love, God's grace, God's healing can't be bought. And more often than not, it can't be seen by the people who have all the stuff that are piled up ready to pay for what they need, because we're still thinking about keeping our own station, keeping up appearances, rather than recognizing that we need something from God that we can't figure out. When Naaman goes to the king in the first place, the king rips his clothes and goes, "Am I God to bring that healing?" And that's the question for us. Are we God that we can create what we think we need to create in life? Are we God to fix problems in other people's lives? Is that our responsibility? Is that our call? Are we God to think that if we do all the right things that maybe things will go well for us? Are we God, or are we looking to the God who gives us these gifts freely? Not because we've earned it, not because we've worked hard and we deserve it, but purely because we know a God who is love. We know a God who cares for us in the times when we are not of the highest stations, but when we are falling apart as well. And we have a God who comes to us through servants' voices, through the people that we wouldn't expect, saying, "But you can find healing through Christ." The people who remind us where to be looking for that healing. Because it's not with the high and mighty, and it's not some transaction we can buy, but it's with the God who is with us in the times when we're falling apart. Amen.